understand and appreciate these two aspects and what the implications are, then we will realize the importance. And the two words that we are referring to are making and breaking. Making and breaking. And Allah Ta'ala put this to mind of the example of a structure that to put a structure up, to build a structure, or if we just use a simpler word, to make a structure, but to build a structure, it takes time. Further than that, Allah Ta'ala puts this to mind that in the construction of a structure, in the building of a structure, in the making of something, you find there are several things that are used. There are several things. If you just take a building and look at where it starts. Okay, having a piece of land, piece of ground, and then for that, to build on that ground, sometimes you need the engineer's certificate, you need different types of things in order to determine that that soil or that piece of earth is not soggy, and that if you do put up a structure, it will not sink. You need those type of reports depending on the type of structure. And once that phase is gone through, then you need those that draw the plans, architects' plans and engineers' plans, and depending once again on the type of the building is still not, hasn't even started yet. All these things are needed. Then, once that is in place, then you start getting those to dig the foundation. Now, the foundation itself to dig, then you're doing it manually by hand. For that, you need laborers. You'll need the picks and the hoes and the spades, so multiple things. You need the wheelbarrows to remove the soil. So many things are going. The structure still hasn't come up. Nothing. Now once you get through that phase, and if you're going on the faster road, you hire what you call these machines, or TRBs, or whatever, to get the ground cleared, to dig the trenches and whatever. So you have to get that. After that comes in, then you start pouring the foundation. The foundation is one word. But how many things go into the foundation? You find concrete stones go into the foundation. Sand goes into the foundation. And cement goes into the foundation. And you get the water that is needed in order for that foundation to be made, then to be mixed. Then depending on the type of foundation that one is putting, you need steel to go into that foundation. It's just the foundation. The building hasn't yet started. Now just see from beginning to end how many things are needed and put together in different phases in order to eventually go and get that final building that looks so beautiful. And it is beautified on the outside, on the inside, that's including the painting, and then you've got tiles and whatever, you got the ceiling, you got the floor, you got the carpets, and multiple things. And then that structure comes into existence and it is completed. This effort of sometimes years, if not years, then months at least, in order to put up a structure of that type. Then you get that structure. So that is the making of the building or constructing of a structure. And the next part, okay, now a structure is gone, or like we find sometimes in certain, like maybe we may have observed in Saudi Arabia, and especially in the Mubarak cities, in Medina Tayyiba and in Makkah Mukarramah, you find those high-end tall buildings, sometimes just a few years old, but just for the expansion of the Haram Sharif. Sometimes you'll find that those new structures that built just maybe a few years ago, those things are brought down. Now, to bring that down, those structures, how much time does it take to bring those structures down? How long does it take to bring those structures down? You find sometimes it's just there's implosion. One is explosion, the other is implosion. And once someone sent me a picture of this particular building, and I think it was in Medina Tayyiba, and the next thing, the whole thing crumbling inside, and multiple stories, but within seconds whole thing crumbled to the floor. Few seconds, that structure that took so many months or years to erect and to build, and within seconds it is destroyed. And let us ask ourselves one more thing, that in the building of that structure there were so many things that were needed and that were brought together, and over a period of time, in order to put up that tall structure, or in order to put up that home or whatever. But in its destruction, how many things did you need? Just one thing, just the dynamite, and it brought down that big structure. If you don't go to the extent of using a dynamite or whatever to bring the thing down, we may have that implosion, you know, whatever is used for that. And if you look at a home or a building, an ordinary building, so you just get these demolishers, and they come with one machine, and they bulldoze the thing. In a few hours' time, you find they've raised it to the ground. Just one machine, and it has brought everything to the ground. In building it up, there was a need for so many things, so much of time. But destroying, few seconds, few minutes, few hours. And the items and the things that are needed to destroy is just one or two maybe. That is what is sufficient to bring about the destruction. This is the outward and the physical things that we see and we observe. Allah Ta'ala took this mind to this fact, that just as we do this building of these tall buildings and these types of structures, there's something from within we are also building. And what is that? The heart, the spirituality. Now for that, to build that, just as there you needed multiple things, so here is not just one thing that's going to be building it up. You can't just say, I'll be making tilawat of the Qur'an and Majeed the whole day. Namaz time, salah time comes, but the person doesn't want to read salah. You can't do that. And if you want to perform salah, you can't say, listen, this person has slept and woke up, must just come into the masjid and stand. You can't do that. You'll have to go to make wudu. And if the person needs ghusl, you have to take ghusl. And you will take, if he's in a state of taharat and paki, and it's hadath-e-asghar, then of course he'll make and make wudu. But that wudu is needed. If that wudu is not there, he can read his namaz with how much of outward khushu and khudu, outward devotion and concentration. He can be standing with so much of concentration. But that namaz is of no value. So that wudu is needed. Okay. Now that wudu, for that wudu to be made, you also need a lota or a jug or a tap for the water, or sit somewhere. You need the water. How are you going to be making wudu without water? Yes, if there is no water, then the substitute, you'll need earth to make tayammum. So one of this you will need. Now take all those things that will be needed to make the wudu, all those things that will be needed to make that tayammum. It's the earth, okay, it's the earth. Then from there, you also need, if you're making wudu, if a person is making wudu, and if he just washes his hands and washes his feet, he hasn't washed his feet, he hasn't made masa of the head, will his wudu be accepted? His wudu is not going to be accepted. So what does that lead us to? He'll have to have the knowledge. He'll have to have the knowledge. Now open up that department from the beginning. You need the knowledge of the fara'is, and then to differentiate, to know which part, if there's very little water, if there's very little water, then how do I make wudu? It has got sufficient just to wash the farz. That is why once my ustad and they were in a safar, and the water that was available was very little, and a few people had to make wudu from that water. Ustad mentioned loud, al-wudu marratan marratan. Wudu, in other words, sunnat is to wash three times each part, face three times, right hand. But now, al-wudu marratan marratan, meaning now you just make kifayat and just suffice on the farz. Just make once only, just wash the face once. Wash that, or you're going to save up water. All those masai, now if you go into your hold, maybe 2 or 3 years of masail that you've learned, and all that was needed in order for your wudu to be correct. Now look at the multiple things just for your salah to be correct. Okay. And together, and in salah, qira'ah is farz. So now you got to know some portion of the Quran and Majid. Now go into that. There's so many things just to make up your salah, to build your salah. So many things other than that are farz that we have to do. So basically what we are getting at is there's multiple things in the spiritual upliftment program that an exercise that we are taking. It is a person cannot make spiritual progress. Say, no, I'll just do one aspect and engage in zikrullah, and he leaves out all his ibadat farz, like his farz namazes and everything, and he sits full day with his tasbih. That is not ibadat. Every time whatever order and command of Allah Ta'ala is directed towards this person, the person will have to fulfill that command of Allah Ta'ala. So, in order to get the spirituality, now these are those a'malan. Then after that, a person does all this, whatever is necessary. Then there are certain aspects and there are certain commands of Allah Ta'ala that are directed towards our limbs. Now that is for that spiritual progress. That the gaze, there's a command there. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنَ بَصَارِهِمْ. The hands, the ears, the tongue and everything, there's a command there. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. Now whatever takes you close to zina, whether it is a tongue that is taking you, it is not every time that the gaze will take you. A person is enjoying some illicit type of pleasure over the phone. He's not seeing the person, but via the ears, the person, via the ears and via the tongue, that is the haram pleasure that he's deriving via the ear and the tongue. So now, commands of Allah Ta'ala that are directed towards our limbs, then the mind and heart, not to fantasize in something that is haram, not to deliberately bring thoughts in our minds that are haram. Now all these things are going into building up that spirituality and taqwa of a person. After so much, the person comes to that level that the person starts experiencing a little of happiness, that now the person is building up his taqwa. There's a type of nur. So just as in the worldly things there's so much of this need for so many things in order to bring that structure up. There's so much more, so many more things that a person needs in order to put up this spiritual structure. Okay, and in destroying it, how long does it take? Just as there one dynamite was sufficient to bring that whole building down, or just that one bulldozer was sufficient to start breaking everything down and raise it to the ground, just sometimes one guna is sufficient to bring this whole thing crumbling down. One guna sometimes is sufficient. A person deliberately casts a lustful glance them, and he continues, that is sufficient to rob him of all that noor that he has accumulated. But there's so many, there's days that have gone. For instance, let's leave the other. Now in Ramadan Mubarak, and more especially after sitting in Atikaf, there's so much that has gone in to try and achieve that little noor that Allah Ta'ala has given us. So much of sacrifices, this mujahada, and the sacrifice of our comforts, our luxuries, our homes, everything that has been sacrificed. But so much that has gone into getting that little that we have accumulated. But when we come out of here, to lose that and to bring that crumbling down, just one guna is sufficient. And sometimes when that is deliberate, then it plays such havoc in a person's life, and the person tries to take out those evil thoughts from his mind after that. But unfortunately, they just haunt him. The person is in salah, it is haunting him. He is going into ruku, that thought is haunting him. Those pictures are coming into his mind when he is going into sajda. That person, though, he is robbed of that serenity, that peace that he was experiencing, that noor that he was experiencing, that bast that he was experiencing, that happiness that he was experiencing. Everything suddenly has just come down. And not only that, what he is doing to himself, ye mana ke maasiyat mein mujrimana thori laddat hai, magar us palne wale se ye kisi baghawat hai. Thori der ki laddat, hamesha ki nadamat hai. Person, he got some haram enjoyment for a little while. Allah forbid, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Person got involved in zina. For a little while the person enjoyed that haram enjoyment. And after that, when he's exposed, lifelong he sits with that stigma that this is what this person did. Thori der ki laddat, hamesha ki nadamat. Hamesha ki nadamat. He's destroyed that izzat that Allah Ta'ala has given him just with one action that he did deliberately. So, therefore, the making is difficult, breaking is very easy. Building ourselves up spiritually is difficult, it's time consuming, this effort, the sacrifices, this mujahada that goes into building ourselves up. But breaking that and robbing ourselves of that, within minutes we can do it. So therefore, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, the hidayat, and the guidance to understand. Listen, this making, that if someday shaitan and nafs, they prompt us to engage in haram, then explain to ourselves, or think, and ponder and reflect, that how much has gone into building ourselves up. Now all that effort that you made for days, and that mujahada, and that striving, and abstention from sins, and you went against your egos and desires, and you crushed those desires for days, you did all that. Do I want to bring all that and raise that to the ground, rest in one gaze, in one glance? Is that intelligence? That is not intelligence. In deliberately engaging in some haram action, is that, whether I'm at the workplace, whether I'm a student, whether I'm an ustad, wherever I may be, for different people there's different types of tests, and fitnas at different places. The fitnas are different, that will confront different people. So therefore, we need to make dua to Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, just as you are giving the tawfiq to build this, even if it may be an iota, even though it may be a speck, it may be that we just took out few spots from amongst that darkened and that blackened heart, which we spoke about yesterday, which was discussed yesterday, that the heart through excessive gunas, and it gets black, it goes dark. So even if you may see, let's put it this way, that if you've got something that is totally black, okay, just as on something that is totally white, you will see a black spot. Have something that is totally black and put a white spot there, you'll see that white spot as well. You'll see. And continue putting white spots, say what will happen? You'll find that come a time, maybe one third will be white and will be bright, two thirds will be dark. And then a little more effort and carry on adding those dots there. And what will happen? You will find that eventually the brightness will be more than the darkness. And then inshallah there will come a time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cleanse and purify that heart through this mujahada, through the striving, through crushing the nafs, through crushing our egos of the evil type and the desires. These things will come. We are human beings. We are not farishtas. So we don't need to get scared sometimes with this. Yes, but the important thing is that when they come, then don't entertain them. Just ignore or suppress. And in that suppression, there will be an effort, there will be definitely a mujahada. There will definitely be a mujahada, because there's a fight. The nafs wants to do, and you opposing the nafs. The nafs wants to do, and you opposing the nafs. Now this positive and negative, that fight and that bout will continue. Every step of our life you will find, it will continue. Ye kushti to umr bhar chalti rahegi, kabhi tu dabale, kabhi wo dabale. This bout that you will have with nafs and shaitan, ye kushti to umr bhar hoti rahegi. It will continue whole life. Lifelong it will continue. The difference is, sometimes you will overpower the nafs, sometimes the nafs will overpower you. So irrespective of what, if you have overpowered the nafs, then make shukr to Allah. But this striving and this mujahada against the nafs, it will have to continue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand these things. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard and protect us. And the nur that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to accumulate, that little or those few white spots that Allah ta'ala has made it possible for us to put on this black heart, then make shukr to Allah Ta'ala and continue with one, even if it's one at a time, continue. Suddenly you find that there's a beautiful face that has come in front of you, but immediately just put your gaze down for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. There's a white spot that is going there. There's a white spot there. Some other haram that has invited me, my friend has invited me to something haram. Immediately I put my gaze down. So this is what will happen. If I continue adding those spots there, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.